I appreciate the Lord's mercy and His goodness to me. And desire your prayers. We look into some scriptures for a few minutes this morning. I appreciate the perfect plan that God has ordained for humanity. Man is God's crown jewel creation. Everything that the Lord looked at, He said it was very good. And we read in the scripture where the Lord gave to Adam a living soul. He gave him the ability to make choice. Gave him a free will. That's a blessing. All of the animal kingdom operates out of instinct. There are rare occasions when maybe a newborn calf doesn't know how to nurse from his mother, or rare occasions when a newborn is rejected by the mother. Sometimes to us those things look cruel and uncaring. But in nature, they also have the ability to determine somehow by instinct the weak, those who are incapable of survival. And to us, that looks inhuman, and it is because it's in an animal kingdom. But God has given to us, humanity, the ability to have compassion and understanding. Now, our ability to understand and to comprehend and deal with things in life is limited to our scope or our sphere of the world that we live in. Where you associate, where you go, what you do in life, the people that you come in contact with. I mentioned the other day that I have grown up in a rural environment all of my life. I don't understand, I can't relate to living in the concrete and asphalt society in an urban environment. I can't relate to that. So I don't do very well to make a judgment for someone, how they ought to conduct themselves and live their lives when they live in that environment. I have learned that they face things that I don't know anything about. And they have to deal with those things and address those things in their sphere of life that I can't relate to. And I know that there is a God that is able to help them and guide them and lead them and keep them saved if they'll give their hearts to Him, just as much as someone who lives in a rural environment and works the ground and gets dirt under their fingernails. I know that's the case because the Scripture tells us that all souls are the Lord's and He knows what to do with each one of them. But I have lived long enough now. I'm not an old man by any means. But I've lived long enough now to understand that there are some situations that we can run into in life where in dealing with a lost world, folks, they need someone that tries to understand. They need someone that tries to relate to their situation. They need someone that even if I don't understand, I can say to them, I'm sorry. I care. And I'm sorry. And that's what the Lord has done with us. And He uses events in life to try to increase our understanding, our knowledge of our fellow man and where they are. Brother Tony works on the streets, and his wife, Lisette, they work on the streets in Mexico. I don't understand that environment. I don't work that environment. I have a community where I live, and that's pretty well limited in that area where I work. I understand and relate to that more. I appreciate his willingness to go out there and pound the pavement and concrete and meet those things, those obstacles that I don't see, that I don't meet. Those who are missionaries that go out in the mission field, they've been places I've never been. They've run up against things I've never run up against. And God bless each one. So we deal with things in life and we address things in life from our ability to understand or comprehend or our immediate surroundings. And the Lord, in His love and His mercy, has made a plan of salvation and a healing system or order that will reach every human being. Now I think about the little community in which I live, LaRonde, Louisiana. A little small community. When I was growing up, we went to LaRonde. All there was a little gas station. It had a little repair shop built on a lean-to beside it. And a little country store. If you run another mile or two north of there, there's another little country store. Miss Gaston Fulda had a store. And you could get just about anything you needed in that place. But it's different now. A couple of grocery stores, a bank, hardware, post office, dollar store. Things like that that pop up here and there. And you know what I have found? In that little community, I can go to get a gallon of milk, or I can go to get bread, and before I can get out of the store, I have spent time talking to so many people, and I have the opportunities are there, and there's people will come up and say, "Mike, hadn't seen you in a while. How have you been?" And we'd have a chance to visit a little while, and to use those opportunities to reach souls. So what I've discovered is, as a minister and as a pastor, that my sphere isn't only limited to that little congregation there at LaRonde. It's wherever I go. I find that wherever I go, there are people in need. And it may be that when I leave here and start headed back toward Louisiana, that I'll pull into a store somewhere to put some fuel in my vehicle, and I might see someone, meet someone there. And that's an opportunity. And that's what the Lord wants us to try to understand, that He's trying to reach all souls. Now, I also understand this. There's not very many of us here today as far as numbers go. It's hard for us to canvass a county. It's hard for us to even canvass an entire community. To try to expect the whole world to understand the full depth and the full plan, the full magnitude of what God has in mind for His people would be a little bit, presumptuous on my part. The Lord deals with every man according to his ability to understand and comprehend. And He is capable, the Lord is fully capable of dealing with each individual on a basis where they are able to see and understand. And what I have found is that we have, as I read the scriptures and I hear the teaching and the preaching, we have a doctrine of God that gives us a complete, as much as we're able to comprehend, a complete overview of what God is and what He designed and desires for His people and His children. I'm thankful for that. I've been the beneficiary of receiving many a blessing in my spiritual body and in my physical body from serving the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And so have you. But I also know that there is a lost world out there, folks, that need a shepherd. They need a Savior. And they need a healer. And in many ways, they don't even realize what it is that they need. And we are the ones that can bring that message of hope and healing to them. Now, I do embrace and believe with all of my heart the doctrine of divine physical healing for these bodies. I carry afflictions in my body right now, and I am got before the Lord and desiring to be healed. And I thank God that He is able to help us in those places and to have faith and belief and trust in Him and wait. Mm-hmm. to be willing to wait if need be. I also know that there's a world out there that doesn't know anything about that doctrine. And may God help us, folks, to have compassion, understanding, and a heart of love to try to reach to them and help them to find a deeper place of relationship with the Lord. Now, in the book of Isaiah, 53rd chapter, this is a very familiar scripture. I desire your prayers. I want the Lord to bless these thoughts today. Isaiah 53, beginning with the fourth verse. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Scripture in Proverbs 20th chapter, I think, and about the 30th, I think it's the last verse, speaks about the blueness of a wound. The blueness of a wound. Our Lord had stripes laid on his back and suffered the deep wounds, the pain of those wounds for our salvation and for our physical healing. I am thankful for that. I appreciate the sister's testimony, and I could raise my hand and say amen to that. The greatest healing I ever had in my life was when the Lord healed my sin-sick soul and set me on a right path where I could start to learn and understand and comprehend more of the depth of his love and his desire and his design for me, for all of us. I desire today, folks, that we look out on this world in which we live, a lost world, with compassion in an effort to try to raise them out of the place they are and onto a higher plane. And that's what the Lord was trying to do for every one of us and has done. Now, in the book of Job, the 23rd chapter, some verses here I'd like to read. Beginning with verse 1. Now Job was a man who lived for the Lord, loved the Lord. Job was a man that offered sacrifices just in case his children might be doing something that was not acceptable, not pleasing to him. An upright man, man of integrity, honest heart, and had a love for his family and a desire that they would be safe. So he approached God with the best understanding that he had in a way that he could to try to secure, if you will, their safety and their security and their salvation. Job was a man that had a big heart and he was concerned about them. So he tried to do the right thing. But the scripture tells us that there was a meeting, and I can't tell you that I altogether understand how this transaction took place, but there was a meeting God had with the sons of God, and that Satan just happened to come along. And the Lord asked the question, have you considered my servant Job? And when the Lord asked that question, folks, that opened up a realm for Job that was unexpected, unanticipated to him. And he was a man that was fraught with affliction from that time. He didn't understand it. He didn't realize what was going on. But God found a man that he knew he could trust. And he allowed the enemy to touch his body, but to spare his life. You can take the first thing. He said you can touch his possessions, take his things. And he did. And I remember reading where Job's wife came to him and said, curse God and die. Job, in his integrity with the Lord, looked at that and said, "You talk as a foolish woman. Shall a man receive good and not have some evil throughout his life? The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord wants us, as much as we desire physical healing, and healing is the children's bread, as much as we desire that, the Lord also wants us to be in a place where we love Him, trust Him, have faith in Him, and believe in Him when the loaves and the fishes have been pulled away. So he said in this 23rd chapter, beginning with verse 1, Job answered and said, "Even to this day is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me." This was Job's, this was the musings of Job's mind in his desperate situation to come before the Lord. I'll tell you, folks, I do believe that God has healing and He wants us to be healed. But I also know that God does all things well. Never a mistake has my Lord made. Verse 7, "There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge." Now hear these words. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I want to read to you comments from Adam Clark on this verse. "He knoweth the way that I take." It says, "He approves of my conduct. My ways please him. He tries me. But like gold, I shall lose nothing in the fire. I shall come forth more pure and luminous. If that which is reputed to be gold is exposed to the action of a strong fire, if it be genuine, it will lose nothing of its quality nor of its weight. If it went into the fire gold, it will come out gold. The strongest fire will neither alter nor destroy it. So Job, he went into his furnace of affliction, an innocent, righteous man, he came out the same. His character lost nothing of its value, nothing of its luster." Do you know what happens when the fire is turned up to gold? If there be any impurities, folks, the dross comes to the top and the Lord is able to skim that off the top. And Job looked at that and said, "He knows the way that I take. And when I am tried, when I'm put in the fire," and he had the fire underneath him and it was turned up hot, "and when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. He knows the way that I take." Folks, I'll tell you, there are places you'll get into in your life, in your spiritual life, and maybe even in your physical condition, where the Lord is there. He bless you in your soul, and he does, maybe not healing you instantly, maybe not giving you the desire of your heart and healing, but he allows us to walk through those places so that we can have compassion on our fellow man. So that we can have an improvement in our character, an improvement in our ability to relate to our fellow man. So that when I sit down beside a man that has lived all of his life in asphalt and concrete, and I've lived all of my life where the green fields are, and I look out of my back door, my back window, and my back patio, and it's nothing but a green field and green trees and woods back there that I relate to, that he desires so much in his heart to be able to have just a little more room. We can sit down and talk, and I can understand the yearning of his heart. And I can have compassion on him because he's desiring something that he may never have in his life. I'll tell you, folks, what the Lord is desiring for every one of us is something that is deeper, much more than just what we look at on the surface, much more than just the loaves and the fishes, much more than just the physical healings. Yes, it's there for us, and God made provision for us, and we ought to put in for it, and we ought to believe it. We ought to hold out for it, but we ought to also have faith. Faith in God, believing and knowing that He does all things well. I look out, Jesus looked out at the people, and He said He was concerned, He loved them, He hurt, because they were a sheep that had no shepherd. And they needed a shepherd. Recently, my wife was in New Orleans, Children's Hospital, staying with our grandson. There was a little boy named Donovan, diagnosed with neuroblastic lymphoma at age 3. Donovan told his mother, "Mommy, I'm not going to live. You're going to get a new Donnie." She said, "Donnie, I want you. I don't want a new Donnie." Donovan went through his treatments. He relapsed. They were giving him comfort care. I say to you, folks, there is a lost world that doesn't know anything about the depths of the love of God and His desire for humanity. And they reach to something because they don't know where else to go. May we have compassion on this world in which we live. I can't point a finger because I can't cover the entire community of LaRonger. I can't point a finger because our congregation can't canvass the entire parish of Tangipahoa or county, which you would call it. I know that there are people who, down inside of them, they want what is right, they want to do right, but they may not understand the depths of it. I want to tell you what this little boy did. His mother was taking him in for a treatment for the comfort care, radiation treatment, trying to shrink tumor. She got him in the car, and she noticed that something didn't seem quite right this morning. She said, "I love you, Donnie. I love you too, Mom." He lay down in the back seat. She adjusted the rearview mirror so she could see him while she was going down the road. And she realized that there was some distress. She called the hospital and they said, "Well, don't take him to the regular treatment. Go to ER with him." Took him to ER, emergency room. Got him in the emergency room. While he was in the emergency room, he started looking around in the room. He says, "Mom, can you see him?" "Can you see him, Mom? Oh, Mom, they're beautiful." She said, "Donnie, what do you see?" "Oh, Mom, the angels. Mom, I see the angels. They're so beautiful." And the doctor asked her, "What do you want us to do for him?" She said, "Just make him comfortable." They took him up to the fourth floor, which is an area that had much more familiar surroundings where those children go, the wing where they are when they're undergoing care. Familiar surroundings, brought him in. He always wanted the lights off. This day, he wanted the lights turned on. Turned on the lights. He's looking around the room. He's just looking, looking, looking. He said, "Mom, they're just so beautiful. And I see them, Mom. They're just so beautiful. Can't you see them?" She says, "No, Donnie, I don't, but I know it's all right. I love you, Donnie. I love you too, Mom." And in just a little while, he was gone. Just a little while, a little fell. He was 5 years old. He was gone. I'll tell you, folks, there's a realm. There is a realm that you and I are not able to see in our humanity. There is a realm that God has for His children. And there may be little children, or they may be adult children. Children in the things of the Lord. May we not have understanding, not have knowledge, not have comprehension. Maybe they've never been taught. Maybe they've never come into contact with. And God in His love and His mercy knows how to reach those individuals. I know today is a day where we've set aside for healing. I want to encourage you. You have knowledge. You have understanding. You have been presented with some of the most beautiful and precious things from our Lord that died for us, that was bruised for us, that bore our iniquities on His back, the blueness of the wound. Have you ever had a deep, painful wound, a deep strike on your body, and it left an opening and a blue-purple color around it? That's what the Lord dealt with. The blueness of the wound. That's what He had, and He brought to us. Thank God, folks, that I was born in a time, and I was reared in a time, in an environment. Thank God that there were people in my life, in the era of time in which I lived, that were able to present to me this message of complete salvation. And when I understand it to the ability I'm able to as a human being, and comprehend it to my ability as a human being, then and try to apply it in my own life, I realize there is a real blessing from the Lord. And I also realize, folks, that there is a lost world that needs this message of healing. Not only for the physical body, but most of all for the healing of a never-dying soul. And the Lord is able to, when we reach that place, the Lord is able to draw us to a deeper level of love and consecration to Him. Oh, I've learned so much. God has been so merciful and so faithful and so patient and long-suffering with me to help me in these areas of my life. Several years ago,
did the little boy die?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, he passed away. We went to his little service, and his mother said, "Only God could carry me through this place. Only God could carry me through this place." Now, you know, folks, looking on at that situation, if you were to meet her on the street, you might not think such a thing. Only God knows. Only God knows. Help us, Lord, to do our part for you. Several years ago, my cousin called me. He grew up in church, Church of God, going to Sunday school. He had teaching. He had godly grandparents. I'm not so sure that his parents ever really had a profession. I don't know. But I know he had godly grandparents because they were my grandparents. He called me one day. He said, "Mike, I need help." I said, "All right, what do you need?" He said, "I need prayer." I said, "Okay." And I knew he had been sick, and I knew he had cancer. And I said, "What do you need prayer for? You want prayer for your body?" He said, "Yes, I do. But I want to get right with God." I said, "Don't you wait for me." He was in Mercy Hospital in New Orleans. So don't you wait for me. You pray. I'll be there as soon as I can. When I got there into his room, as soon as I walked in, his wife said, "I'm going to leave the two of you alone." She left. And as I walked in, walked over toward his bed, I saw that foot moving back and forth underneath that sheet. I knew that he had found something with the Lord. I could tell by his countenance. He was a dying man. He was a dying man. But he had found something with the Lord. He had found a place where he could find forgiveness. And we talked and visited a little bit. And he was a very, very sick man, and there was nothing more that they could do for him. And he had a little bit of trouble really understanding and grasping the concept of salvation and forgiveness. And I mentioned to him, he loved goats. He loved goats. He had herds of goats, and he tended to them as a shepherd would sheep. So I said, all right, let me ask you a question. You like those goats? Oh, I love tending to those goats. I said, how many times have you gone out there because you had a little nanny that was trying to have a little one, a little kid, and maybe she was having trouble, and you knew that she was going to need some help, and you'd go out there and check on her different times during the night? So I've done it many a time. I said, do you know Christ is the chief shepherd, and we're sheep, and he has more love for you and all of his children than you could ever have for one of those little goats? And it's like the light went off in his mind. And he was able to get a picture of that. And again, that foot started shaking underneath the sheet. And he got it. He got it. He got it. Now, I'm going to tell you another little story dealing with this same man. And God help us here. Someone came to me, well-meaning, I understand, came to me. Now, it just so happened that he was in an adulterous marriage. I was sorry about that. Someone came to me and said, Brother Michael, you've got to tell him that he's got to get out of that situation. Because the scripture says, no adulterer or whoremonger will enter the kingdom of heaven. I said, can we deal with first things first? Man's dying. He has no one. Can we deal with first things first? I remember an occasion in the scriptures where a man was brought to the Lord. His friends brought him. He was a cripple. They went to the house where Jesus was, and he couldn't get in the door because of the crowd. So they climbed up on the roof, and they tore off the tiles of the roof, and they let him down in front of the Lord. Now, they went through a lot of work to do that. And the Lord looked on that scene, and he saw the man there before him, and he said, friend, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you think that his friends brought him there to hear the Lord say, thy sins be forgiven thee? They brought him there because he was a cripple, and they wanted him to walk. So those in the house, the scribes and the Pharisees, heard him say, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they murmured amongst themselves and says, now who is this man that says, thy sins be forgiven thee? No man has power to forgive sins, only God. So Jesus looked at that and said, which is easier? To say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say to the cripple, rise up and walk? But so you will know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, I say to the cripple, rise up and walk. And he took his bed. He was able to walk. Folks, the Lord wants first things first. I know that he died for everything that a man can fully understand and comprehend to be able to trust him for. That's what the Lord died for. He died for you to be able to come to a place in your life, in your experience with him, where you trust him for everything in your life. For your job, for your family, for your home, for your future, for your companions, for your children, for your physical body, for your soul. The Lord develops that walk with us. He develops that walk with us. And it's a beautiful thing that the Lord died for. He died so we could have complete salvation. But he told that man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that was a blessing to his soul. And we sing a song in our hymnal. Christian, when thy way seems darkest, and thine eyes with tears are dim. And in one verse that song says, for too well thy Father loves thee to allow thy life to be one long, calm, unbroken summer, one unruffled, stormless sea, he would have thee fondly nestle closer to his loving breast. He would have that world seem brighter, where alone is peace and rest. The contrast between this one and that one. Folks, the Lord is doing His level best with every one of us to help us to see the difference, the contrast between this world and that world. And that's one of the reasons why He will allow us to go through places in life. He will allow us to have affliction on our bodies so that we can understand more and more and more in the private devotions, in those intimate encounters that I spoke to you about just a couple of days ago, those things that the Lord wants us to have with Him so we can experience that in its fullness. When we leave this body, when we leave this world. The book of James gives us a prescription to follow. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Can I tell you, folks, that's an action on two parts. It's an act of faith on your part, my part, to come to an altar of prayer, present myself before the Lord. Yes. It's an act of faith on the part of those who are praying. Yes. To touch heaven for that individual. I am so thankful for God's mercy to me. I'm so thankful for His abundant provision for our souls and for our bodies. I want to say again, God loves you. He cares about you. Yes. And he wants you to trust Him. The Scripture tells us without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I desire that we not short-circuit or try to short-circuit God's plan for us. I desire that we could be, if need be, as Job, saying, Lord, I don't see you here. On this side where you've been working, I don't see you here. I've been down that road, Lord, and I don't even see you back there. And I can't see you in front of me either, but you know the way I take. I will not waver, Lord. By your grace, by your strength, by your mercy, by the merits of your shed blood and the stripes that you bore on your back for my soul, I will hold fast. And then when the time comes, Lord God, help us that we make the separation from this world into that eternal realm. It'll be worth it. It'll all be worth it. I appreciate your time this morning. If anyone needs healing from the Lord, folks, let's get healing. Can I ask us, seek the deepest level of healing, the deepest need that you have. If you have physical need, encourage you to come forward for physical healing. The deepest need that you have. Seek the Lord to heal the deepest need. Amen.